Welcome to the Draw Doctors Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I am your host, John Crockett, and we are talking all things round three and waiver wire pickups. It has been an absolute shit weekend because of one dumb fuck Essendon player. COVID McKenna has wrecked it for everyone, and there's a lot going on, especially over the weekend. Especially for draft players. We found out what happened with salary cappers, but some of us draft players who play the Supercoach format are still in limbo, so we're going to have a bit of a discussion about that. We're going to go through the round three games, barring the Essendon game and the Port Adelaide game as well, because that's kicking off at 8 o'clock and we're recording a bit earlier. But no Stevie Fizz again this week.
Woo!
Back-to-back wins for his beloved Gold Coast Suns. I fear for his well-being now because it could just be one big drunken rampage, and I haven't heard from him in 2 weeks, so concerns for Stevie Fizz. If you do see him out there in Western Victoria, please drop us a line and let us know he is okay. But the man, the myth, the legend, I'm not sure if he's still in the top 1,000, but he was over the weekend, joins us. It is the great man, the Statesman. Welcome to you.
Hopefully I will be by the end of this week. I was after round one, missed after round two, bit of a poor week. But hopefully back there, we'll wait to see how the final game goes. We are recording before the Frio and Port game. Unfortunately, that time was changed and moved because of the current situation we're in. But I want to say, boys, how good was my boy Matty Rowell, and how good was my other boy Lockie Weller, who Doss tried to claim today, and how good are the Gold Coast Suns once they got rid of Doss's boy? They were mighty today. How are you, Cam?
Yeah, I'm doing really well, thanks. Oh, man, I feel like the hosting just kicked up a notch with Stato taking over for host. Thanks, buddy. Yeah, doing quite well. Very surprised with this whole COVID McKenna situation, and very surprised that we still don't have Stevie Fizz on the pod. However, rumours are circulating, guys. Rumours are circulating. He's up for selection next week after a solid performance in the twos.
Well, I don't know if there are twos for the draft doctors, to be honest. That would be a shambles, to be fair. And look, we don't really like having co-hosts around on this show, and we much prefer never having an ex-host. But we do have one here today, and he's been a bit down in the dumps this week. One of the biggest selections ever made in salary cap history was last week, Doss. Who did you bring in?
I brought in the GOAT, expecting him to perform well again this week against the deplorable Adelaide Crows. But instead, Stewie Jew opted to give his best player rest for this week as they took on the cellar dwellers there, and hopefully bring him back next week for another big show in the best 22, as he should be. So hashtag Jew out, and we'll move on.
Yes, and obviously there's been a fair bit of news this week. I suppose we should quickly touch on this. I know we're going to have a few questions, but Cam, how have you seen it play out, seeing we've had one game eliminated from the round, and how the formats have had to deal with it? Of course, we've got three major formats. Two are actually linked, which makes the fourth one with Will Dream Team and Supercoach. There's Ultimate Footy and there's AFL Fantasy. And three platforms have come up with three different solutions. How have you seen it, Cam?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that all three come up with different solutions to start with, to be honest. And I think that just shows that actually it's a really complex problem. Whilst we can sort of theorize and speculate the best way to do it, I think on the back end, from a tech perspective, you know, their systems could be limited in certain ways, and you may not have the ability to simply enter someone's average, for example, to give Supercoach potentially a bit of a breather there. But I think we need to be considerate of the fact that there may be limitations that are beyond people's control when they're making these decisions. That being said, I really do like the approach of Ultimate Footy and of AFL Fantasy, one taking the averages and one taking the predictions. I think there is a massive benefit to taking the averages. I think it's probably the most fair approach across all, and it solves for both classic and for draft. I think projections are maybe a little bit of a weaker opinion or a weaker way forward, simply because 2020 is so different and projections are all based on historical numbers. So that's kind of how I'm seeing it. Doss, what about you, mate?
Oh, it's just unprecedented stuff. So, like, I don't have an opinion. I think everyone's just doing the best they can. I think there's a bit of a backlash about the way potentially Supercoach has handled it. I know Stato's potentially got a few thoughts that he might want to go through. But for me, look, I just hope, you know, we just want to play fantasy footy. It's fun while everything's going on. So I just respect that it's still hanging around. I don't know what the heck I'd do if I was in that situation. So, yeah, I'm happy to have however it works out. I just hope we do get some sort of resolve in the Supercoach format.
So what about you, Stato? What do you think?
Pretty clearly for me, my role in life deals with complex issues. And I understand there's never an easy answer and you never keep everyone happy. So that's the main point you've got to make straight away. So none of the decisions that have been made have been trying to upset people, but obviously they have. Now, first and foremost, dealing with a super coach, which I disagree with going to 18 on field, the theory of that complex, dealing with a complex issue, the theory of that is very good. The problem is the people that were planning were not planning for the 18 plus. So there will be teams, about 25% of teams, that season is ruined on that decision. So there's no coming back once you've made that decision. Bang, 25% are totally disgruntled. A lot of people, so 50% will be half and half, and then there'll be a 25% that just got the golden ticket. Now, if you can imagine, you didn't have Lockie Whitfield, and you only had one Melbourne or Essendon player on your team, and you were sitting 10,000th in the ranking, you are going to shoot up, most likely, you are going to shoot up to be a contender. Now, a lot of that is luck, but there could be someone that's sitting there in 50th position that all of a sudden has six, and there is easily that you could have six Melbourne and Essendon players because of this early in the season when you're dealing with rookies as well as your primos. They will just lose any chance of being into that competition, all because we made a decision. The reality is the answer that took a little bit longer for AFL Fantasy to take was the right one, but it also creates the flexibility for them to go next week, once they know a bit more, a best 18, and every coach can plan for that, so everyone remains in the game. So that's why I was very strong to say, no, this is wrong. I understand complex issues, and I understand the theory they tried to go with, because my automatic response when I knew was going, this is going to be a best 18, but it can't be a best 18 right from the start. So I understand when they were heading, it was executed poorly. An error doesn't become a mistake unless you refuse to correct it. And unfortunately, they doubled down and went stronger as soon as there was a bit of a kick up. I think that was an error. They should have settled down, looked back. Yes, Cam, you may be right. There may be some technical things, but we're not hearing about the technical things. And communication when you're making difficult decisions needs to be absolutely clear. The double game rollback at some stage does not work, and it does not give you the flexibility if it all goes haywire. Because all of a sudden, you can have teams that lucked in to start with and then load up ready to go to get the double. So there's a double whammy. Again, you're hurting the coaches that had no way of knowing that this could possibly happen. So that was the issue. But let's get on to the round. And I think I've got the first game. It's the Hawks and the Tigers. My first point here is Titch is definitely impacted by his shoulder. Please avoid the big C on him and wait until it is resolved. You don't lose him. He is a gun. And if that gets better, he will be fine. A lack of tackles really hurts his output at the moment. Richmond also continue to give up points for midfielders and defenders. No surprise that Isaac Smith, James Sicily and Blake Hardwick all had their season PBs this week. And last but not least, what I noticed in this game is Basha Hooley, who I've never given enough credit to previously. He just leaks so well. He is just watching the vision, because the vision's changed because of the situation we're going, just showed this so much more. And that's my bad that I haven't watched Basha close enough. But yes, he's an injury risk, but you've got to consider him as a captain choice. The way he's playing in this Corona ball is just incredible. And if he's ever in early games, make sure you put the VC on him, because there's a chance that you'll get a good ton out of him. Magnificent game by him, not so much by the Tigers. I think a couple of teams have worked them out, so they've got something to work through. But it was actually an enjoyable game of footy. And I think we're on with you, Jono, for the Dogs and Giants.
Yeah, quick question, though. I noticed in that game with Shields and Smith on the wings, it sent Henderson back to defence. I think he's 88% owned in leagues on Ultimate Footy. Sneaky chance for DPP, maybe?
Yeah, need to see it a little bit more. I was sort of disappointed with Shields' last two games. He did one in the tagger and then on the outside. And I think that's a little bit to do with Jager coming back in. But from what I thought was someone that was going to be a BCV 90 averager, so probably in the mid to high 70s, he's not looking pretty at the moment. Henderson had a much better game. So if that role is confirmed, and I think it'll be too early for him to get DPP after this round, but if he gets in the second round and keeps scoring in those round 60s, worthwhile defender. At the moment, he's sitting on some of the waiver wires, even in our keeper league at the moment. But he hasn't been scoring that well. So I'm a little bit concerned a couple of the Hawks.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And as you said, I did have a look at the Dogs and GWS. And the golden rule of football is you play the ball and not the man. And GWS ended up spending too much energy focusing on Bontempelli than the actual football, and that's what cost them the game. But it was actually interesting to see that Libba was back in the team this week, and we know how well Bailey Smith's been doing while he's been out, just killing it. But first three centre bounces, it was with Bailey Smith, and McRae had usually been on a wing, but McRae wasn't even sighted on a wing for the first three or four centre bounces. And so because I couldn't really see it in the coverage, I assumed he was lining off the half-back line and then running in. But after that, he was back in the guts, McRae, Bont and Dunkley. So it looked like they were rolling with M3 for most of the game there. I thought Libba was going to hurt Bailey Smith's scoring, but it didn't affect it at all. He got the ton in super coach there. It's just Bailey Smith's pressure around the ball. He loves a tackle. Got his, I think, 20 disposals as well. But Libba was the tag breaker. He was the guy getting in between De Boer and Bontempelli and just breaking it up and giving Bontempelli that separation. So they did that last year before Libba got injured, when Curnow was tagging Bontempelli in the Carlton game and Libba was that go-between man. So that's something to watch there. Now, when you're only 19 years old and you had a heap of, what's the opposite to praise? Criticism, that's the word I'm looking for, criticism. Tim English has been beaten to pillar to post for the first two rounds, and he's come out and just absolutely roasted Sam Jacobs. Now, if you're a Sam Jacobs owner in AFL Fantasy, I'm not liking what I'm seeing. Supercoach, yeah, he's still going to get out a few hit-outs to advantage and score you maybe in the 90s, which we expected, but Tim English absolutely blew him up around the ground. Couldn't keep up with him. Source was just basically guarding the grass in the end. He just could not keep up with him.
He looked really good round one, Sam Jacobs. Then they've had the long break. He got absolutely smashed by Goldstein the week before against GWS and just looked as bad this week against Tim English. And I don't think it's so much about the two other ruckmen. There's just something a little bit amiss. I don't know whether he's carrying an injury or just the rhythm of the preseason wasn't there, so he didn't get up and running. So I don't know if he's going to come good. But it just looks like he can't take a mark. which I think was one of the strengths of him as a player previously. So I'm unsure whether it's injury or it's just hasn't had the fitness and form running. But I also do want to make one point, Jono. We all made a commitment through our private messaging that when Doss is on the pod, we don't talk about Bailey Smith.
I just had to quickly mention, you don't get to talk, I haven't finished Doss, so that's fine. Let me finish. If your name is Toby and you play for the Western Bulldogs, you do not get out of that team.
Correct.
The grunt that Libba and McLean have brought to this team does it just, they made him walk taller. And we know Toby Green's a gun, and Toby McLean is also a very good player.
Yep.
In a similar role to Toby Green, plays a small forward, pushes up in the midfield. So he was fantastic in his first game back. So hopefully they can continue.
Now, he was a rising star. Only 2 years ago, we were talking about him as a potential elite on-baller and forward centre in fantasy football. Absolute jet. This year, in the top-up draft for our keeper league, so the listener league keeper, I actually picked him up at pick 204. So that's how much he's dropped off in the past 18 months. But what
we were talking about him as a top 5-4 with Josh Dunkley last year.
Yep, absolutely. And so he's really dropped off. But what we saw in the first half is what we've always assuming. He got bevoed. He did get a bit injured as well, so he had that shoulder complaint. But he's back.
Speaking of bevoed, Paddy Lipinski's owners have really got to be feeling the pinch on that one. Thought he was really good against St Kilda and got omitted, so definitely getting bevoed there. And if you're Josh Kelly owners, man, he's cooked too. Just do not draft again.
Yep.
Put him as an M3. You just can't trust him.
Never accept him in a trade.
No. What have you got, Doss?
You did cover it, so I should have shut up, Jono. I was just going to say, Lipinski, fourth most disposals, fourth most pressure act, seventh contested possessions, in the second lowest time on ground for the Dogs in round two, then drop for round three. Do you think, say, Lin Jong, Latham, Vandermeer, Bailey Dale, he's better than these guys. That is genuine Bevo. That's Bevoed.
Vandermeer is more your small type forward, whereas Lin Jong and Lipinski is your similar medium type forward / midfielder. So I'd sub out Lin Jong. I think Lipinski is a better player than Lin Jong.
Yeah, it's just strange. Very strange.
Yeah. Moving on now to the North and the Swans game and Stato. What did you notice there?
Well, Jai Simpkin is a jet, and I think everyone knows this now. So big in keepers this year, but he will lose his forward status. His majority of the time is sitting in the midfield. That's why he's racking up so many points as a forward as we speak. So the option is that if you don't look like you're playing in finals in a keeper league, it will be at some point this year time to cash in big, because he could actually give someone a premiership and you could get plenty for him. Because if he's scoring like this as a midfielder, he's ho-hum or he's okay or he's an M3. But right now his value is peaked and could help someone win. So if you own him and you're not going to play finals, pick the right time and get a sweet, sweet reward. Aaron Hall is no Dom Tyson. Yes, he actually plays Cam. And Probs, he's on some waiver wires, so pick him up if you can.
And pretty handy late week pickup too by Probs. Someone.
Oh, Probs. Probs. He's a Probs. Swans, when on song, can restrict opposition scoring, or as we know it, sides can be horsed. The Roos scored about 250 points less than their previous game, which was against GWS. And just one last point on this game, it was about 10 minutes into the first quarter, and we know how much this man can crow on quick early calls. But the message from Doss was the Swans are cooked.
Well, they were not looking too flash early, but yes, they certainly came back. Just like led by Jordan Dawson on the comeback, Stato.
Yeah, he played well.
Do you think Aaron Hall got the bump due to Cunnington being out?
Oh, no doubt. And I can say...
And the Higgins tag as well, obviously.
I was talking with Doss, and this is my bad, it's not your fault, Doss, but we were sending little messages. Cunnington out, and I think someone else, Higgins was getting checked by physio pre-game and all those type of things. And here I am, Toby McLean's been brought into the team, so I put him on the field. I take Jack Zeeble out because he's been performing poorly score-wise because he's been deep forward. I should have realised straight away, but I waited. I thought about it. So listen to this. I had a choice. Take Darcy Parrish off or take Jack Zeeble off. I took Zeeble off. Darcy Parrish doesn't play. And there we go.
You get double there's points. Soups. No, you won't.
No, you won't. And to be fair to say, because he wasn't playing much in the midfield and Hepper was out. Anyway, so I tried to make the change just before the game and I'm sort of pressing the buttons as well as typing to DOS at the same time. And it was just before the bounce. I pressed the save, but the save failed. So once you get that hunch, make the call early. Don't wait till the last minute and get burnt, which is exactly what I did.
Hey, Stato, have you noticed with George Hewitt coming back any sort of difference or anyone getting really hobbled by that? It seems like all the guys are still performing okay. So is he not really stealing away the midfield minutes away from, you know, the likes of Florent? Even Rowbottom scored well in this one. Was he, you know, in the guts there? Hewitt not really as damaging for those players that maybe we might have thought he would have been?
Yeah, I think he's playing as a role player, so whatever role needs to be done, and it's more of a defensive role. So he's not stopping those that are being creative.
Solid.
Cool. Cam, what did you notice in the Pies and the Saints game?
Yeah, so first thing, I guess it's not even part of the game, but it might be worth a trade high on Taylor Adams this week. Even though he posted the modest numbers of 84 AFL Fantasy and 106 Supercoach, it might be just about the time where you might want to cash out because Adam Treloar played in the scratch match on the weekend and did a lot of Adam Treloar-like things. If he manages to not get injured at training, which, you know, these days is sort of 50-50, I think he's close to a lock to run out next week. And you have to think that hurts Tay-Tay's numbers a bit, which we saw through the season last year when the two were playing together. Our second point is you've got to be careful of sides versus the Pies, especially the midfield. So it's all well and good, and we know very well that the Pies score very well. They, you know, are the most immense scoring team in the league. But a small trend so far since the restart is actually, and just one to be mindful of, the Pies seem to really restrict opposition midfields this year more than they ever have before from a scoring perspective. All the big guns at the Saints, Hannes, Zebros, Gresh, Billing, Steele, none scored over 80 in AFL Fantasy and none broke the ton in Supercoach. That's pretty drastic from what I can tell. And they have GWS on deck next week. Given their recent form, you know, it could be a bit of a cause for concern, especially with guys like Josh Kelly potentially being out and them relying a little bit more on Jackson Hatley and Jai Caldwell. The third point is around, it's, well, just the Saints. It's kind of hard to say anything nice about them in this one. I was really excited about going into this game because they looked so dynamic last week. And unfortunately, the only constant for them has been Dan Butler.
Yeah.
Dan Butler's been absolutely unreal as a sort of small tackling pressure forward. And he can find a few goals. So pretty impressive scores over the last couple of weeks with 82 and 83 in AFL Fantasy and 115 and 124 in Supercoach. We know it's not really sustainable for that sort of role. And generally, it's kind of the ebbs and flows. But, I mean, if you picked him up off the waiver last week, it might be a good opportunity to try and trade high this week.
Hey, Cam, I reckon Rats has ticked off a couple of boxes to be fantasy coaches should be wary of a few things Rats says. First, we had him hyping up Josh Battle in the preseason, yet to see him out there. Then he said, I think it was that he was going to go with a less of a 50-50 split with the Ruckman, and we saw yet again a pretty even spread with Marshall and Ryder again. Should we just not trust Ratton? Early signs.
Early signs are not good, Doss. I wouldn't trust Ratten. Look, I think you're still going to have your same core players doing relatively well, but I think given the small sample size and given just how much the Pies restricted their midfield, it's probably not really a worry at the moment.
Doss, what did you notice in the Lions and Eagles match?
Oh, we're skipping to the Lions-Eagles. All right, I'll just grab these up. So, in the Lions, well, West Coast, pretty terrible at the moment. Midfield soundly beaten for the second week in a row, despite Nick Nat's aerial dominance as well. And just concerning, really, just West Coast giving up pretty big points to midfielders at the moment. Kelly, Yo, Shuey, Sheed, not exactly pure defensive players. And you got Neil, McCluggage, Berry, Lions. They all went pretty huge. Stato, Lockie Neil, you're a big fan at the moment. Just carving up to start the season. Still averaging a ton despite Corona Ball. West Coast, guys, I want to get your thoughts. Do we have plenty of buy lows with West Coast? Or is their game plan just a little bit cooked for Corona Ball? Like, are we buying low before the WA hub, for instance, if that does happen?
Correct. You reckon? That's the answer.
That is the answer. Okay. So I was sort of thinking about that. We got the Brisbane tough matchup, a weird game against the Gold Coast. So surely a bit of upside there. So maybe look to buy low on a couple of West Coast players. Over to Brisbane. McCluggo sighting, guys.
Yeah, very good.
155 Supercoach point. Hugh McCluggo, Hugh McCluggo. Carving up.
And next week, Zorko's back.
And he's back. But yeah, Brisbane's suffocating the fantasy scores. That continued as well. Aside from Gaff and Nick Nat, no one scored over 68 AFL fantasy points for the Eagles. So just beware captain options against the Lions. And I tell you what, it ain't going to be pretty when they take on Adelaide next week. I think we got a question later on that refers to this. But boy, I'll wait for Adelaide, but that's going to be pretty ugly. With Zorko out, it was Cam Ellis-Yeoman who came in and took some CBAs, surprisingly, but he had 7 clearances and 7 contested possessions in just 64% time on ground. Pretty hard to think he'd stay in the team, but if he did, it might bode well for that hope of Zorko forward DPP, potentially. I'd have to double-check CBAs, but it appeared as though Steve Fizz's boy, Jared Berry, might have retained a bit more of that inside role that he stole off McCluggage in round 2. there. So I think the fact we've got a few midfielders doing pretty well in there, we might just see a wider distribution of CBAs for Brisbane going forward, which, you know, is probably not great, but Lockie Neal, obviously the one that's just going to remain constant in there. Starcevic, hashtag very good. He's seems to have a big tank, puts in constant effort around the ground, tackles, racks up, pick him up now, if he's still available. And I'm going the other way, though, as well. I think Alex Witherden, even though this appears Starcevic taking that role, I'm still saying he's the ultimate keeper league buy low right now. You've got Daniel Rich, 30 years old, Birchall, 32. Archie, is he going to be better than Witho long term? Guys, like, I don't think this is going to stay down for two.
You got Mitch Robinson moving on, so
yeah,
Witherden or Archie.
That wing, exactly, yeah. So I just think buy low, even if it's a season hold for this guy, if you have to buy him low in a keeper league that you can stash on a bench, I just think very keen on Witherden as a buy low candidate in keepers.
Now, the next game, I wrecked it for all Cats fans because I put a same game multi on the Cats, and it was the Blues in a canter. Cam, what did you notice in this game?
Thanks for ruining that for everyone watching, Jono. So confirmed, Pitnet is ROB2020. Even though you have to take it with a bit of a grain of salt because he was up against the human mannequin Reece Stanley, he still looked pretty damn good, and he knocked up a pretty chonky 78 AFL fantasy and 137 Supercoach. Lock and load if you got him off the waiver. Speaking of chonky, Jack Stephen looked chonky as fuck. Playing the same role as what he did at the Saints, he looked a little off the pace and, to be honest, a bit nervous. Sam Manigola came off with a back complaint. Luke Dalhouse was knocked the fuck out, so he may end up keeping his spot even if Parfitt comes back. He'll be better off for the run, and owners are just going to have to give it a couple more weeks to see where that one goes. One to be aware of, if Carlton can end up putting 4 quarters together, which they still haven't managed to do yet, look out for key forwards versus them. Jacob Wiedering was absolutely immense in the first three quarters of the game, and he limited Tom Hawkins to just the one touch in the first half. They play, or were scheduled to play, the Bombers next week, so it maybe isn't such an issue against the Bombers because they don't really have a key forward anyway. It probably goes against the fibre of, like, every single fibre that I've got to suggest that key forwards may not score well against Carlton, but you know, 2020 keeps on throwing out those curveballs.
Wiedering, when fit's a really good defender, and if he doesn't have a matchup, he'll just play that intercept role with Jones as the lockdown.
Absolutely.
So. Is there something in him and Harris Andrews both are having monster years? Is there something in the big key defender this year, particularly Supercoach, obviously, but they're both having career years this year in that format?
Oh, Wiedering's just been a gun, just hasn't been able to get on the park, so we know he's been able to score. Dossie. The Suns and the Crows. Are the Crows allowed back into South Australia, or they have to remain in Queensland?
They might want to stay there, I think, for a little bit. We've got the confirmed stream against Adelaide now because, boy, they were deplorable. First, I'll talk about the Suns, though, because they're looking pretty legit at the moment. You know, we know that Adelaide are trash, but they are looking good. Gold Coast are here. Fantasy relevance looking pretty real. They were already a good clearance and contested possession team last year. Now they have that depth and veterans around them to support. And having Matt Rao, who might have a Brownlow around his neck as well as the Rising Star Award this year at this rate, that really helps lift you up a notch. So they're just getting more uncontested possession. And look at this. Right now, they're fifth in AFL fantasy and Supercoach scoring per game, according to Footy Wire, and getting seventh best for uncontested possessions per game as well after coming dead last in 2019. Stato.
And it's amazing how much difference the impact of one good midfielder in a team can make, Doss.
Look, Fairani was fine last week. Right? Jono, what do you got?
My question is with the Gold Coast Suns is they don't have to travel. They're a young side. Obviously, they're reaping the benefit of the hub here. So I think going forward, if they have to travel a lot in the second half of the year or even next year, that a lot of their players might be overdrafted yet again.
Yeah, it's a good point. But they also, I think a lot of their players, as particularly if you're talking about next year, they've got a lot of guys that are coming through that are just going to lift up again, and we're going to have another five.
I love my key forwards. I'm taking the King boys every day of the week.
They're guns.
The difference for now, they will have some inconsistent weeks, so don't get me wrong, and the travel will impact them and all that type of stuff. The difference is now is they have a good defensive unit, they have a good midfield unit, and they have potent forwards.
They've got a good mix.
And a pretty good ruckman.
I actually was pretty happy they mentioned that how good is this team now that they have to leave quality players like Fiorini out of the lineup. They actually mentioned it. But then,
and George Hall and Smith.
But then they added, and it just took all the life out of me. They added, yeah, Fiorini and Lemons, great players. And I was like, yeah. So other things to notice from Gold Coast. David Swallow, a bit of a concerning role. I reckon I'd sell pretty quickly if you can. Playing a lot up forward, and you've got Greenwood, Weller, Miller, Rao taking plenty of more time around the ball. He looked really sort of up the ground more. And I think the Bowes breakout is going super underrated here. We've talked about him a couple of weeks in a row.
Yep. Been questioned about that. But
we've talked about him a couple of weeks in a row, I think, as a pickup. But he's even taken kick-ins down there. Just really awesome. Back to Adelaide. Stream against Adelaide. Just stream. They're looking like a wooden spoon. Hashtag Nick's out already. Just completely one-sided. None of their players are standing up. Like, even their best players sort of look a step behind. And if you've got names like Crocker, Keys, honestly, Tex at this point, they're not getting gigs in most teams. So, look, yeah, just stream against Adelaide until further notice. And unless they just kick into gear, it's not looking good.
Fair enough. Look, we were going to talk about the Demons and the Dons, but that was postponed, and the Freo and the Port game hasn't started, so we're going to move on to our waiver wire pickups, where we use Ultimate Footy 65% or less ownership, just to give those in bigger leagues a bit more of a chance. And Stato, why don't you kick us off with your waivers pickups for this week?
I'm just going to go the defensive specials for round four.
I love thematic waivers. This is great.
Blake Hardwick, Hawthorn, solid 70s averaging defender in previous years. He's only owned by 54%. 76 on the weekend with quite a nice role. Yes, we've got to confirm and admit it was against Richmond, who can give up some points to defenders. But 76 is bordering on high 90s BCV. Tom McClory, Port Adelaide, 62% own, averaging 71.5, which we're talking is getting close to that high 80s mark. Levi Casbolt has been in and out of teams left, right and centre, but he's only owned 63%. Can be up and down, but is worth a bench backup. He's had two really good scores this year. It's all about the right matchup, the right time, and he can put a score on the field. And one I must admit that I am very glad I picked up. He went under the radar. It's Ben Patton. He's only 21 years of age. St Kilda defender, only 20% owned. He's given us scores in the Corona Bowl of 59, 57, and this week 72. So we're talking that he is averaging in the 80s on the normal scoring method as his first full year of football and looks quite classy.
Fair enough. Cam, what have you got there?
Yeah, my first one is actually just any Carlton forward that you can find on the waiver. So Harry Mackay, Mitch McGovern, Eddie Betts. If, you know, we're recording this before we really know the fallout or the full fallout of what's going to happen at the Bombers, but rumour is that they may still have to play with 22 on the park, and that doesn't bode well if Connor McKenna has had close contact with all of the defenders, which is also what's being reported. So they may be going into that game without a defensive line, or at least a first tier defensive line against the Blues, which could just be absolute carnage. So keep an eye on that one, but potentially stream some of those Carlton forwards. Next one for me is Jackson Hatley. There's probably enough uncertainty at the Giants in regards to injury that you could do worse than stashing him on your bench. 53% owned, scored well in preseason and dropped the 80 AFL fantasy and 108 Supercoach when he was given his shot this week.
Fair enough. My waiver wire pickups, spoke about him last week. The big O, Oscar McInerney, still in 62% of teams. He did share the ruck with Archie Smith. Scored you the 85 AFL Fantasy, 132 Supercoach, if you don't mind, with Steph Martin absolutely shot in the retirement home with Sauce Jacobs. Aaron Hall, we spoke about, still at 63%. Wait and see. They are up against the Doggies this week, who can, with depending on which Bulldogs turn up, can leak midfield points. A Supercoach pickup, you've got Jacob Wiedering at 20%. He's knocked out scores of 107, 73, and 90 in Supercoach. Wow. And he's got okay in AFL fantasy. He's in the 50s and in the 60s, so not too bad in the scheme of things. Ben King, again, another Supercoach play, 19% ownership. He's playing Fremantle next week, and they don't have a genuine lockdown key defender. He absolutely gave Talia a bath, and Hamling is still out, so I don't mind that. And also we saw Rory Atkins go down with an AC joint, and that gave Paul Seedsman a bit of a bump. If you're looking for a midfield, owned at 65% ownership, he was playing off the wing and halfback role in that Rory Atkins role, so look to grab the seed off the waiver wire. Dossie, what have you got?
I've got, I had Blake Hardwick as well. Maybe some Jai Caldwell at 36%. He did pretty well in the AFL fantasy format. 71 AFL fantasy in just 71% time on ground. Yes, Stato?
Where do you see it if only one of those two get to play? So Hatley and Caldwell.
Well, I didn't see a heap of this game. So, I mean, Hatley scored better. Who had this game? Maybe you can tell me who looked better. But I know that, I mean, Caldwell was in the team before Hatley was. So Hatley was the late replacement. So you'd imagine Caldwell.
But I will.
Caldwell looked better than Hatley.
I will say there's one that looked better than both of them. And that was my boy, Perryman.
Perryman was very good.
Coleman medal leader. Very good. Harry
Perryman. Yeah. I don't know if anyone mentioned, did someone say Grant Bertrill? Surely Jono mentioned the Birch. 67 AFL fantasy was lower in Supercoach, but that was due to his efficiency, which was very un-Birchall-like. Versing Adelaide, though, next week, so maybe hold off a week. It probably won't go down the back line. Oscar Allen, 32%. Don't pick him up just yet, but I'd keep an eye on his time on ground when he bumps that up. I know, Jono, you've been pretty high on him. He's working his way back from injury, but he's playing backup ruck for Nick Nat, and they're not going to have... they're not going to have that second ruck in there with a hickey this year. That's been sort of reported. Ryan Daniels was letting us know that a couple of weeks ago. They want Oscar Allen to be his backup. So I think when he bumps his time on ground up, he could be a very nice option, but not just yet. And then, of course, you know, the very low ownership of Sam Sturt and Georgiadis, depending on if they can continue their good scoring. Fiorini, 99% owned, under-owned.
Doss, being a lifelong West Coast Eagles supporter, it's fair to say when you look at the list on paper, they look like the best balanced squad. Richmond are probably players the best team when we talk structure. That hasn't been the case the last 2 weeks, but the last 3 years it has been the case. West Coast look like the best list on paper and looks like they've got the absolute right balance. What is currently going on? Is it purely and simply they haven't been prepared and not willing to be in the hub life? So all the talk externally is that we don't want to be here, and they seem to be playing like it.
Yeah, it's hard. You can't really put your finger on too much, but I don't think the same necessarily as on paper, I think correct. I don't think they've adapted to Corona Ball personally. I don't think
right.
The way that they're playing at the moment is going to get you it done. They don't have enough pressure being applied in the midfield. Like I said, they've got a lot of guys that want to hunt their own ball, not a heap of pressure going the other way and not forcing turnovers. And really, it's just, it hasn't held up. Like, I thought even though Hearn...
Is that the Kelly versus Hutchings,
well,
the difference
in
the
midfield?
I don't think
so, because you looked at last year, Hutchings did not get CBAs last year. He was already sort of playing right. That defensive wing role. I think just integrating Kelly, though, is going to take some time, and we've seen Sheed sort of be pushed out a little bit, scored poorly. Cam might even have a crack at the Sheed off if this continues, but... yeah, like we said, I think we still do buy low on them just in case it is a mental thing, being in the hub. But for me, being a fan, it is concerning. They've not looked like they've been in the game in these last two losses. That, you know, even though the score against Brisbane wasn't too bad, like it wasn't flattering at all. They didn't look like in control ever.
And just a quick one word answer in the Sheed off. Who's the other Sheed?
All right, Dom.
Tyson.
Sheed Tyson, that's his name, right?
Moving on to the questions now. Thank you to all those who chucked them in on Twitter and the Facebooks. Going to the first question is from Tom, who asked us just after we recorded last week on the Facebook. He says, love the pod, fellas. Have you guys got a lock for a DPP who would be a great pickup and is under 65%? Ownership in Ultimate Footy. He's currently got his eye on Jack Bowes playing off the half-back line, scoring pretty well, even with Hanley and Harbour, which we've mentioned. He'd love to hear our thoughts on who we might be looking at going forward, who might get a DPP. And I was having a look at it, and with the whole Essendon situation, and they need defenders and someone who can potentially get it, maybe not this week, but in the next round of it, it's Tommy Cutler. He is listed as a mid only, has been a defender before. He's 65% ownership, so that is one to look at there. We have mentioned Callum Archie, 41% ownership. Lin Jong, if he doesn't get dropped for Paddy Lipinski, he's 23% ownership, could get the forward status. And maybe even a Tyler Brown for keeper leagues going forward. Is he potentially one that could get forward status going forward, Tyler Brown, or is he just a mid only?
He's a chance. I think the bigger one might be Josh Dacos.
Yeah.
For Collingwood, and going to be a very valuable scorer. What his ownership is, I'm a little bit unsure. I dare say it would have gone up over the first 3 weeks because he scored 70, 80 and another 70, I think.
71%.
There you go. And Archie from Brisbane, if you didn't mention him, a lesser performance on the weekend. Let's see if he, I dare say he's going to get it. So he's one to maybe stash if he gets that defensive status.
Stato, what have you got?
I think I've already covered, but we're going through the questions, aren't we?
Going through the questions.
Are we still recording?
Yes.
We're getting them. From our good mate Breno off the Twitters. He says, bloody hell, I hope you guys can get some movement going on not having double points one week. We're talking super coach here. He goes, I mean, imagine copying zeros in the finals and not average slash projected 2019 averages, scaled to 3,300, obviously. The fact the site can't allow customization speaks volumes. I completely agree. And the averages, like AFL Fantasy, and I think what Ultimate Footy is going to do, I think there's either projected scores or the averages. It's just done. The round is over. We move on. Yes, it's going to affect some people, but you can catch up. I think the balance might be 20 to 30 points instead of hundreds of points, which just cooks your season. So,
yep, fair point.
Ninja Spoon, should we be looking to fringe Essendon players on the waiver wire if they do get forced to play next week with 8 isolated outs? Absolutely.
Kobe March.
We were talking.
I actually don't know. Is he right to go? Yeah.
I did see his name the other day, and he didn't have that little cross next to him to suggest that he was injured. So, yeah. They have rated him
absolutely.
For a few years.
I love Kobe March. Get around him.
Absolutely. Look for any sort of Essendon players, because even if they're a forward or a midfielder, they're going to be thrown in defence, or even if they're tall. Sam Draper, apparently, out of the rehab group, is he, Dossie?
Oh, he's training. He was training the other day.
He's training.
Keeper leagues, I told you a couple of weeks ago. Keeper leagues, get around it.
Sholly the Hansard asks, why do I have a bulge in my pants looking at all the Brisbane forwards on the wire for next week?
Oh, yeah, stream against
Adelaide. They've got Adelaide. Yeah.
Stream against Adelaide. They're going to
tear him a new one. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But medically, we can't give you the actual reason why you've got a bulge in your pants.
I'd see it.
We're not qualified, doctors, but not doctors, and no in that offense, profession. We don't want to find out.
Frogger asks, has draft been addressed at all on the Supercoach site? Supercoach side of the ledger, have only seen a ruling for Classic so far. I guess Fantasy is clearer with the use of averages as surrogates. No, it has not been. Hopefully, Supercoach do come out and give us some indication of how the draft players will be affected. But by the sounds of it, I think draft players have been lumped in with the Classic players and will unfortunately get double points, and hopefully it doesn't occur during finals or even a grand final if you own Essendon and Melbourne players. Clarky asks, heard the last quarter and a half of the Suns-Crows match. Didn't hear Sloan's name called much at all. Reason for concern or just Adelaide piss poor in general?
I'll answer that one. He did come in with an injury, so received a corky last week. He played really hard first half. I think he got a little few more knocks, so he was just playing a bit sore.
I want to ask, actually, just add to that question, do you think he, maybe Smith as well, is there, are Crows, you know how we said West Coast up in the hub, maybe when they come home bit more valued, are any Crows buy low right now? Or is because they're so rancid, do we think that's going to continue and no buy low? And would you sell some Crows?
Look, at the end of the day, they'll come around from this. They're not going to be like this the whole time. They'll come around, they'll start connecting as a unit, they'll review, they'll get better. But who those players are that are going to be on the improve is the big question, because what you'll find now is I think they'll make a decision to start backing in some kids. I really liked Hamill, liked what I saw past the eye test. He's not going to be a big scorer yet, but I think they're going to back in some kids and they'll give the opportunity to give elevated roles to younger players. That's what you do when you rebuild.
And Chris Kelly again asks, what the F is happening with draft? Any news, doctors? No news just as yet. As we said, we've got a feeling Supercoach is lumping us draft players in with the Classic players, but hopefully Supercoach can come out and say something completely different, that we either get a projected score or the averages as well.
Although Ultimate Footy are just going with the projected scores. So what they have in their system is projected scores. Those that were selected not playing from that game will actually get their projected score.
That's fine. I'm happy with that. The way AFL Fantasy did, I think, was brilliant. Just
absolutely
named it 22, bang, that's all you get. Fair enough.
Yep.
Done and dusted.
Yep.
Move on.
Perfect.
So hopefully. Let's hope Supercoach comes around. That does wrap up the show for this week. If you want to follow us on the social medias, you can check us out on Twitter at The Draft Doctors, on Facebook and Instagram as well. Leave us a message if you've got any thoughts or questions that you'd like us to answer. Thank God we do actually still have some footy to play through the Conor McKenna fuck-up. And set your lineups, and thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to The Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.